from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. The debate over health care reform that we were just having with the 3rd Congressional District Congress and health care costs play out often on the national political stage, but the nitty-gritty details of how health care reform will actually work is often very much a matter that is defined state by state, from setting up the new health care exchanges to the power states have or don't have to regulate the cost of health insurance premiums. Joining us now to take up the challenges before the state is State Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones. Commissioner Jones, thanks for being here.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
Happy to have you join us. I want to talk first about something that's just happened recently and have you give us a sense of how well or not that's worked. And that has to do with the rebates that people received in the past month. As I understand it, insurance companies, because of the Affordable Care Law, are required to spend at least 80% of their premium money on actual medical care. If they don't, people get money back. What did that mean for consumers in California?
Well, that's correct. This is one of the most important features of the Affordable Care Act, a requirement that the health insurers and the HMOs actually put more of our money, the money we pay as premiums or our employers pay or labor organizations or we as families pay, into actual health care, paying for doctors, nurses, clinics, hospitals. It wasn't so long ago in California that Anthem Blue Cross only put about 60 cents on the dollar they collect from us into actual health care. The rest they kept for themselves. So this is a big, big deal. It's 80% in the individual market, 85% for large group health insurance. But even more importantly, if the health insurers and HMOs don't miss that mark, then they have to provide a rebate. And one of the first things I did, literally the evening I was sworn in as insurance commissioner, was I issued an emergency regulation giving me the authority to enforce that rule here in California. And last month, I oversaw the rebating of $79 million to about 1.5 million Californians in rebate checks. The checks, on average, are about $100 or so, sometimes more, sometimes less. People have chased me down the street pulling checks out of their wallet. It's a nice thing to get a check back from your health insurer. It doesn't often happen. But what I say to them is, don't thank me. Thank President Obama, because this is a key component of Obamacare.
Now, one part of this that's a little muddy to me is that if you bought insurance on your own, then if you were owed a rebate by your insurance company, that check came to you. But if you got insurance through your employer, that rebate came to the employer, right? What's happened since then? Have employers been holding on to that money? Are they obligated to give it back to their employees? What is going on in that particular situation?
Well, when the employer is the actual one purchasing the health insurance, while it's true that oftentimes and increasingly so, and this is an increasing problem for people, employees are having to pay a larger share, it's the employer that's actually in contract with the health insurer. They get the rebate check, and they can use that to defray the future cost of health insurance for themselves and their employees.
So if I get insurance through my employer and I'm owed a rebate, that rebate is going to go to my company, not to me necessarily. It could come to me. Is there a lot of fuzziness about that? Would be up to the individual employer as to how that money is deployed?
It's up to the employer, and I think it really depends on a case-by-case basis. But the overarching thrust of the rule is to try to get the health insurers and HMOs to put more of the money they collect from us into actual health care. We'd prefer that they hit the 85% 80% mark, because the importance of that is making sure that more of the money they collect from us actually goes to what it's intended to, which is healthcare.
You mentioned Anthem Blue Cross before, and as I understand it, they were the company that had to give back the most. They had something like $38 million that had to be rebated. Are you in conversations with them? Do you know whether or not they're going to make that sort of effort to hit that 80% or 85% bar in the future?
Well, as I said, literally minutes after I was sworn in, I issued an emergency regulation giving me the authority to implement this very rule here in California. We receive rate filings from the health insurers. They make certain representations about whether they're going to hit the mark or not. We ask them to make adjustments accordingly. If they don't hit the mark, then they got a rebate. But more than relying on their self-certification, I actually have sent in auditors into each of the major health insurance companies in California to audit the books to make sure that we're getting a very clear, concise, and accurate picture of what's going on in terms of meeting this requirement. And if we discover that, in fact, they haven't rebated enough, then we'll issue an order that they rebate more.
I guess what I'm trying to get a handle on is, going forward, if the purpose of this particular provision of the Act is to motivate insurance companies to put more money into medical care, Do you have a read on that yet? Do you know whether or not they're going to do a better job of hitting that bar next time around?
Certainly. There's no question that they are doing a better job of hitting that bar, because what happens is they have to file their rates with us, even though I don't have the authority to reject excessive rate hikes. And I hope we talk about that in a little bit. That's a big, big gap in the Affordable Care Act, and a big, big problem here in California is consumers and businesses are getting eaten alive by these rising rates. But we get the rate filings that indicate how they're going to meet those requirements. And they are, by and large, beginning to meet it. In some cases, is not. That's why there's the rebates.
Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones joins us this hour. We're going to open up our phone lines as well. If you'd like to participate in our conversation, have a question about anything regarding health insurance, life insurance, car insurance, it all falls within the insurance commissioner's purview. You can join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. If you have a question for Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones. Well, let's move to that part of the equation. As insurance commissioner, when it comes to rate reviews, when insurance companies put forward what they'd like to do in terms of what they're going to charge for premiums, you sort of have the bully pulpit. You can talk about this. You can do the actual review. It's just that you don't really have any arrows in your quiver.
That's correct. This is a big, big gap in the Affordable Care Act and in California law. While the insurance commissioner since 1988 has the authority to reject excessive rate hikes for auto insurance, for homeowners insurance, for all property insurance, and all casualty insurance, and has used that authority to save consumers tens of billions of dollars since 1988 for those insurance product lines, I don't have that authority for health insurance or HMO product. And consumers and employers are suffering as a result. 10, 20, 30, sometimes over 100% rate increases from year to year. And all I can do is look at the rate filing, point out where I think it's unsustainable, and then hope that the health insurer will make some adjustment.
Have you had that experience where you said, this rate you're proposing is not right, it's too much, And the insurance company says, well, thanks, Commissioner, but you know what? Never mind.
Yes, we have had that experience, and far too often. And it's very frustrating, because at the end of the day, while I can find problems in the rate filing where they're over-asserting with regard to their future projections, costs, and so forth, I can't force them to adjust that rate as I can with all of these other insurance product lines.
So there's been efforts to enact this through various bills in the state legislature. Hasn't happened. Why not?
I actually authored three of those bills over the last 6 years.
When you served in the state assembly.
That's correct. And the sad, sad reality is that the health insurers and HMOs have tremendous influence, which they exert in the state legislature. So we were successful in getting each of those bills through the first house, only to have them fail passage in the second house. Last year, as the new insurance commissioner, I sponsored a fourth effort, same result. So now what I've decided we need to do is to give the voters a chance to decide this question.
Before we get to the proposition approach, I just want to ask one more question about it happening across the street over here in the legislature. And to ask why not, because that must mean that both Democrats and Republicans are not – that you don't have enough on both sides of the aisle. Is that correct? This is bipartisan influence that's being exerted by the insurance companies?
Well, it's very fair to say that there's not one Republican vote in the state legislature for this in the 7 years that I've sought it. So there's no question that the Republicans are adamantly opposed to giving the insurance commissioner any authority to reject excessive rate hikes. But unfortunately, some Democrats have been opposed to it too. And that is, I think, a direct function of the tremendous, tremendous influence of the HMOs and health insurers in the legislature.
The argument, I assume, to push back on here is one of regulation, that if there's too much regulation, if there's too much governmental interference, that has a negative effect on business, that has a negative effect on the marketplace, that it would force some insurance companies out of business.
Well, the evidence is to the contrary. Since 1988, insurance commissioners, both Democratic and Republican, have had this authority for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, property insurance, and casualty insurance, and have saved consumers and businesses tens of billions of dollars by rejecting excessive rates in those areas. Those insurers are still selling all of those product lines here in California, so it's not resulted in a diminution of product. But what it has done is save businesses and consumers a lot of money that they otherwise would have had to pay. In fact, since I've been insurance commissioner, we've saved about $540 million alone in all those product lines. 34 other states have given their insurance commissioner the authority to reject excessive health insurance and HMO HMO rate hikes. This is not some radical proposition. And when you have a market like this, which is characterized by essentially oligopolistic behavior, an essential good that people desperately need, you've got to be really, really big to provide this product. They essentially have monopoly power. And that's when we decide as a society to have some oversight of the pricing.
Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones joining us. We'll take your calls in just a moment. 866-733-6786 is the number. One more question on this. So you've decided to go the ballot proposition route. Didn't make it onto the 2012 ballot. Will be on in 2014. But here's my question on the ballot propositions. You know, as someone who served in the Assembly, you sometimes have the sense that the California legislature is irrelevant, that in order for anything to happen, it goes the ballot proposition route. And that can be a problem if you have, in essence, a legislature that's composed of 20 million people. I mean, do you really think that's the way to bring about policy change, is to always have to go by way of ballot proposition?
No, I'm a big believer in the legislative process, and that's why I tried for 7 years to get legislation through. But thankfully, as a result of the progressive movement at the turn of the century, we have an escape valve, which is if the legislature won't act, we can go to the voters. And that's exactly how we got Prop 103 passed in 1988 that gives the insurance commissioner the authority to reject excessive rate hikes for all these other insurance product lines. And that's exactly what I think we need to do here in 2014 to give the insurance commissioner the authority to reject excessive price increases for HMO and health insurance product.
Let's hear what our listeners would like to know from the state insurance commissioner. Steve in Oakland has our first question. Steve, go ahead, please.
Hi, yes, thank you for taking my call. My comment is that the whole point is to reduce overall health care. So what is there to prevent the doctors or the clinics or the hospitals from charging a higher rate, thereby having then the insurance companies would pay a higher premium or pay a larger portion to the doctors and to the hospitals, and we no longer have a rebate. But at the same time, the health care cost was not reduced to the consumers. Thank you.
Great question. Well, one of the elements of this market-based system is that health insurers and HMOs still have an economic incentive to try to negotiate as best they can for lower reimbursements for physicians, providers, hospitals, et cetera. But the caller points to a real problem, and that is while the requirement that the health insurers and HMOs put a larger share of the money they collect from us into actual health care is a good thing, it also has the perverse effect of potentially causing health insurers and HMOs to continue to want to raise their rates. Because if you're accustomed, as was the case in California in the past, to keeping 40 cents on the dollar, and now you can only keep 15 cents on the dollar, what's your natural economic reaction? You're going to raise your price so that you can get back to 40 cents on whatever amount you're collecting. And so that's why I call the authority to reject excessive rate hikes the missing piece of the Affordable Care Act, because it doesn't all work, if you will, ultimately and ideally, without that missing piece, that ability of a regulator to say, wait a minute, this is too much. This is just too much.
And how many of your fellow insurance commissioners around the country have that authority?
There are 34 states that have given that authority to their commissioner. And I think maybe the best evidence of all is what happened in Massachusetts. You know, Massachusetts adopted Obamacare under Romney, despite his protestations to the contrary in 2005 when he was governor. They adopted the Affordable Care Act, an individual mandate, a prohibition against insurer discrimination on pre-existing conditions, and a subsidized pool or an exchange where people could go to get, hopefully, a subsidized product. And all those three things were thought to work together to try to bend the price curve down. That didn't happen. Prices kept going up. So in 2009, the new governor, Deval Patrick, conferred on his insurance commissioner the authority to, drumroll, reject excessive health insurance rate hikes. And that is the missing piece. It was the missing piece of the Affordable Care Act in Massachusetts, and it's the missing piece nationwide, and it's a missing piece in California. 34 states have given that authority to their commissioners. California hasn't. We've got to fill that missing piece.
And Deval Patrick has powers that Jerry Brown does not?
Deval Patrick dusted off an old Massachusetts statute and said, I'm going to interpret this way. Now, believe me, I have looked in the code books to find such a statute, and I can't find one. So we've got to change the law, and that's why we're going to the ballot in 2014.
Steve in Lafayette has our next question for Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Commissioner Jones. Thanks for being on the show today. I was wondering, I recently had to shop for an individual policy for my son, and before that I had to do it for myself. And, you know, one of the frustrating things was I'd get rate quotes from various companies, but they couldn't tell me what my actual rate quote was going to be until I filled out a lengthy application. And, of course, each application for each company was somewhat different. When the insurance exchange in California gets going in another, I guess, year and a half or however long it is, will there be like a common application you can fill out and then get quotes from all the companies, or will you still have to go through multiple apps?
Steve, thanks for the question. Before the insurance commissioner answers, just by way of context, Steve is referring to the new health care exchanges, again, part of the Affordable Care Act. California is moving quickly in this arena, much more quickly than many states. And the idea is to create a kind of open marketplace where consumers like Steve can look and compare and do some comparison shopping.
That's correct. What the exchange is designed to do in California is to be an active purchaser and basically take the buying power of the 4 to 5 million folks that we will be encouraging to enter the insurance market, and by law will have to enter the insurance market, and aggregate their buying power and negotiate hopefully better prices from the health insurers and the HMOs. And it's a great question because, yes, the other purpose of the exchange is to require standardization by each health insurer and each HMO selling in the exchange of their products. So you can do apples-to-apples comparisons based on price. Right now, as the caller just indicated, it's a nightmare. It's hard to make comparisons. You don't ultimately know what the price is going to be. When the exchange is established, and the switch will be turned on in 2014, but as early as October of 2013, you'll be able to go up on the exchange website and see what products are being sold there, make these apples-to-apples comparisons based on price. There'll be the standardization requirement that will allow you to do the kind of shopping and price comparison that you simply can't do currently.
And one more question on provisions that are going into effect. The health exchanges won't go into effect for some time still. What about with pre-existing conditions? It's now available for people who weren't insurable at all before. But for those who have a pre-existing condition but are afraid to switch because they're afraid that they'll lose their insurance, when will that part of the affordable health care law go into effect?
So for children, it's already in effect. What Obamacare provides is that health insurers can no longer discriminate against children with pre-existing conditions, and I issued a regulation here in California shortly after I was sworn in to implement that piece of the Affordable Care Act too. For adults, as of 2014, that law goes into effect and prevents health insurers from discriminating against people with pre-existing conditions. In the interim, there's a high-risk pool that's been established both by the state and the federal government that provides for a product if you have a pre-existing condition. It's not a heavily subsidized product, so it's still pretty expensive, but at least you can go to a place and find a product now in a way that you couldn't before.
Ben emails in, what's the best way for an individual to find health insurance, presumably between now and when the health exchange goes into effect?
Well, I encourage people to shop. I think the internet is a good way to do that. I think talking to an insurance professional is helpful too. But the simple truth is it's hard to do right now. And so people are frustrated. I think a lot of people also don't recognize some of the other immediate benefits that they are enjoying from the Affordable Care Act, things like the ability to keep your kids on your health insurance till age 26. There are 350,000 young people in California that now are on health insurance that weren't before because of that provision. The prohibition on co-payments and other co-insurance for women seeking preventative health care, the closing of the donut hole for seniors when they have to dig into their pocket and spend thousands of dollars for their prescription drug benefit, the elimination of lifetime caps. I can't tell you how many people I've met who are alive today because although they had insurance, there was a provision in their insurance that limited the amount of benefits they could get to a lifetime cap, and their treatment needs were above that lifetime cap. Thanks to the Affordable Care Act, they get the treatment they need. They stay alive. So these are things that are in place right now, and there are better things to come. And so we're continuing to move forward here in California. Of course, voters have a big choice in November to make as to whether they want to have this act or not based on who they choose as president.
Nathan in San Francisco is up next with a question for Commissioner Dave Jones. Nathan?
Hi. Actually, I have two questions. One was half addressed. Are we going to see the insurance companies buying up medical care companies in order to move the profit taking there and consolidate that? And what do we have to prevent that?
Great question. Yes, there has been an awful amount of recent consolidation activity, vertical and horizontal integration in the healthcare delivery system, health insurance, and HMO world. Of course, in California, you know, we're one of the leaders nations in terms of the penetration of managed care plans to begin with in California. So we've had some of that consolidation already, but there's been a lot more going on. Now, the Affordable Care Act encourages quite a bit of that under the rubric of efficiency by trying to have more coordinated care so that there's more coordinated care between providers and better integration of systems. But I also am concerned that with integration, sometimes can come monopoly pricing power. And the best remedy for that are the antitrust statutes that we have at the federal and state level. And the Attorney General just announced recently that she's begun an investigation in this regard. And I think that's probably the best safeguard we have to countervail some of the negative attributes of consolidation.
Heidi in San Jose has our next question for Commissioner Dave Jones. Heidi?
Yes. Hi, Commissioner Jones. I want to thank you, first of all, for being an advocate for the people. And secondly, I just want to quickly preface my question with a couple of statements. I am from Massachusetts, moved here 8 years ago, and I went without health insurance for 4 years and got, you know, paid $300 a month, and it ended up being a coupon when I needed it, seriously. And my daughter is disabled, 20 years old, and has been using Medicare. So my question is this. Clearly, the system is broken, and frankly, I'm sick of the middleman, like a lot of people, and I'm wondering if we can put a referendum eliminating or phasing out these health care groups and just putting in Medicare, maybe with a, you know, an addendum that people can use a health care company if they want to, if they can compete. So that's my question, and I'll take it off air. Thank you.
Great question. Well, we can and we should. But right now, unfortunately, we don't have the majorities in the broader electorate to support what's called single-payer universal health care or Medicare for all. I personally support it. I think it's the way to go. I think just about every other Western industrialized nation has that kind of system. I'm not talking about nationalized health care where we have the state or the government own the actual providers. I'm talking about a system where you have a single-payer, basically a Medicare for all, where you eliminate the age provisions and you make that available to everyone. To do that, though, would require convincing a lot more people across this country. And I think what we have to do right now is basically build on the benefits of the Affordable Care Act, make sure we implement that, and frankly protect that from all of those who are assaulting that. And then at some point, hopefully, we will show people the benefits of moving forward in this fashion.
And just briefly on that very point, though, that's at the heart of people's concerns about the Affordable Care Act. It's the role of government. It's the intrusion into what people think of as this, you know, intimate relationship between patient and physician.
Well, the health insurers and the HMOs already intrude into that intimate relationship between the patient and physician. So that's already occurring. The question is, do you want to let them just make those decisions, or do you want to try to make sure that we have a better system where they can no longer discriminate against you because of a pre-existing condition, where they can no longer deny you or strike your health care because of some mistake you made on your application and so forth and so on. So the irony of the attacks on Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, are that it's being decried as some huge government invention. In fact, it's a market-based approach, one that actually was grounded in conservative think tanks like the Heritage Foundation many years ago that used to have Republican support, now no longer because that party has moved so far to the right. But it is a market-based approach. Is it perfect? No. Do there need to be changes? Yes, we need to add the authority to reject excessive rate hikes, and I think we need to build to a better system of single-payer universal health care.
Commissioner Dave Jones, as you know, this is a fundraising period on KQED Public Radio. To find out more about how to support that effort, you can go to kqed.org. I'm Dave Iverson. Back to more of our phone calls. Let's hear next from Stan in Redwood City. Stan, go ahead with Commissioner Dave Jones.
Hi, Commissioner. Just as a preface, I will admit that I have been in the insurance business in the past. But, as regards consumer behavior, what we've seen over the last 10 years with Amazon and over the last 40 years with Walmart is a complete flattening of prices in the markets that they're involved in. It's a very competitive marketplace for the things that they sell. Health insurance, on the other hand, has been where there tries to be a centralization of control, it becomes more complicated and more expensive. And I guess I have two questions and or comments, and that is, number one, why don't the commissioners support, and certainly Democratic commissioners support, allowing the purchase of health plans across state lines? And why is it assumed that when you put more mandates and more centralization that we don't get the flattening of prices like we have with the products that both Walmart and Amazon sell? And health insurance doesn't have to be more complicated. It seems to me that people should be allowed to buy the coverages and benefits that they want. I'll take my
Great
comments
question.
Off the air. Thank you.
Great question. Well, I think the difference between Walmart and health insurance is in the nature of the markets. The health insurance HMO market is a market that classical economists would characterize as an oligopolistic or monopolistic market, and naturally so. It's a market where there's what's being sold is an essential good. You desperately need it. You're going to pay anything to get it. That's very different from buying products at Walmart or Amazon, for that matter. It's also a market where you have to be very big to succeed. The five of us can't just go out and form a health insurance company and expect to succeed. You have to have large capital, large reserves. You have to have the capacity to pay claims. And so you've got to be big. And it's a market characterized by price setting, not price taking. It's not a naturally competitive market. It's a naturally oligopolistic or monopolistic market. In circumstances like that, and let me cite a few, water, electricity, natural gas, where there are essential goods, where there are tend to be one or two dominant market players, you can't just rely on competition to drive price down. You have intervention. And in the case of those essential goods, we have a public utility commission that says, wait, we're not going to allow excess pricing. In the case of auto insurance, homeowners insurance, property and casualty insurance here in California, we also say we're not going to allow those markets to function in an oligopolistic way and set prices wherever they want to. We're going to reject excessive hikes. And I think so, too, in the health insurance HMO market. Now, every major national carrier is in this market. We already have a market that's characterized by as many players, frankly, as you're going to get. But what you would get if you drop state-by-state regulation is a race to the bottom. Our consumers and our businesses would have to go off to far-off places to seek recourse under those states' laws, which are a lot less protective than our laws are here. And I think on net, that would be bad. You don't get additional price competition by dropping state-by-state regulation, but what you do get is a lot weaker laws for Californians and Californians' businesses. So I think the appropriate response in a market like this is to do what we're doing with all these other insurance product lines so successfully. These insurance products are still sold here in California. They make reasonable returns. People have access to these products, and yet we've saved consumers tens of billions of dollars. Why is health insurance and HMO product any different? Answer, it's not. 34 other states have decided it's not, and I think we need to move appropriately.
Emailed question from Anya. Will we be able to add in-law parents to your insurance? Or I suppose parents in general. If parents can add children, can children add parents or in-laws?
Well, you can I guess, define your family as you see fit. The provision that deals with people up to age 26 goes into effect right now. So it's one of the immediate benefits. Moving forward to the exchange, you'll be able to buy insurance in whatever configuration you would like. Obviously, there's cost consequences to doing so. The more dependents you add, the more it's going to cost you. But right now, the key provision with regard to adding dependents and the health insurers not being able to say no deals with kids up to age 26.
Last question. Your ballot provision, which would give you more clout to actually enforce rate reviews, goes on the ballot in 2014, when I think you would also be up for re-election, right?
That's correct.
Is your job worth having if you don't have that clout?
Well, I think the job is worth having because, notwithstanding the limitations as it relates to rejecting excessive health insurance rate hikes, this office has tremendous, tremendous authority to protect consumers. And it's a real privilege to serve in this capacity. And we've done a lot of good. And I'd love to come back and talk about all we're doing to protect people from life insurance and annuity sales and all the work we've done in saving people literally hundreds of millions of dollars in auto and homeowners insurance. So it's a tremendously important, albeit obscure office, but it makes a real difference. And it's a real privilege to get to serve in this capacity.
Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Forum is produced by Tina Lorberg, Judy Campbell, and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our senior editor, Dan Zoll. Our executive producer, Raul Ramirez. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.